Thank you. Free Nutty Quiver at the top. We've got, we'll do verses 1, 2, and 4 of Free Nutty Quiver at the top. First, second, last verse. We do have two offerings this morning. So if anybody doesn't remember, doesn't know, the gold colored plates, regular tithes and free will offerings, silver plates and flower fund. Then when they come back, that's offering, we take it once a month to help fund our youth activities. The church always pays for the youth to try to maximize the number of people that are able to go. So that helps in case there's a financial need, you know, they still to participate. So that's what they will be collecting for when they come back through the second time. Brother Jesse, would you pray to offer for us?
Lord, we'll come to you today. Thank you for all your good, and for your mercy, grace, Lord. We ask you to take this offering and use it for the upbuilding of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I had a fellow argue with me about that one time. And I guess if I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
If they're not going to listen and they're not going to hear what the Word of God says, you know, at that point, you know, there's no point in continuing, because then you want to start arguing. That's why he said, oh, you can't know. And I was like, well, have you ever read the book of 1 John?
Yeah.
You know, one time I counted, I forget how many times it is in the book of 1 John, it says that ye may know, by this ye know, and this is how we know. And that's kind of his response. I don't care, you can't know. I was like, well, you know, obviously you don't care what God says, so, you know. At that point, you have nothing else to discuss. And I think that's kind of, it's getting into that territory of what Jesus was talking about, not casting your pearls before swine, you know, unless they trample them underfoot and turn again and rend you. You know, at that point, it's going to take the Spirit of God to show that person the truth. So, but anyway, the Lord is going to speak this morning. Before we come pray, do we have any birthdays? Christina said that we're going to need to do whatever. Right? Any birthdays this past week? Oh, yeah, I guess so. Any stragglers from January? Or anniversaries? Yeah, we did this really, yeah. Okay, so, either no birthdays or nobody going to admit it, so. Let's see. Do you remember our comedy show? Lord willing, will be February 17th to 6 p.m. That'll be here. Remember, there'll be donuts and coffee after. And they wanted us to point out, yeah, we're going to have a good time, but it's also going to be for the Lord, of course, and we're going to have a series ending. So do remember that, and just pray for those of us that are in it, that we'll do it in honor and glory of God, and then we'll have good fellowship, you know, as we do it. And remember our youth meeting coming up, that's April 10th through the 13th, is that correct?
Yes.
Preacher Curtis Presnell, that'll be our youth meeting, but you know, our pastor keeps saying this too, everybody's invited, right? And just yeah. Young people. That's what I told Mom and Dad, I said, I know y'all don't really have any youth at y'all's church, but that don't make no difference.
We're not good for our wages.
That's right. You know, and maybe, you know, the Lord has laid on our pastor's heart to have something that focuses on the youth, but that's, you know, like I said, that's for everybody. You know? Yeah. So do pray for that. I'm really looking forward to hearing Preacher Curtis. I look forward to hearing from him because he is able to give a perspective that there's a lot of people that are not able to give. So I'm really hoping that God will use that to reach folks that may otherwise be very difficult to reach. And that's one of the things that the Lord does with the tragedies in our lives and with the hardships and the things that we go through. There are certain folks that God can use to minister to people that nobody else can minister to. And we wonder why we go through these things. And God has many reasons for things. It'd be very prideful and foolish for us to come to a conclusion that, well, I know exactly why God did that. Well, we may know exactly one of the reasons why God did that, but he may have many more that we don't know about. But, you know, a lot of times we can see that in our lives, that God will use the things that we have suffered to allow us to minister to somebody to whom we otherwise could not have ministered. So I believe that's what one of the things that the Lord is doing. Preacher Curtis there.
You know, something Satan puts a lot of focus on the youth, don't you?
Yeah, it sure does.
And everyone is influenced with the power of it.
Yeah, amen.
Well, I think the church are pretty well focused on you.
Amen.
And I believe everybody can be influenced with the power of it.
Yes, that's what the devil's crowd said a long time ago. They said they tried the violent overthrow in the 60s. Saul Alinsky and the Weather Underground and some of those guys. It doesn't work in an armed country.
Yeah.
So they you know, they cleaned up, they shaved their face, and they said, we're going to begin what they call the long march through the institutions. They said, if it takes us 50 years, if it takes us 100 years, we don't care. We're going to start in the schools. We're going to get a government. We're going to get a law office. We're going to get the medical industry.
In the churches.
Yeah, in the churches, exactly. In the seminaries. Yeah. You know, that's what, I mean, the devil's playing the long game, but a lot of times we're just like, well, you know. I mean, I know the Bible tells us not to take thought for tomorrow, but that's talking about worry, right? That's talking about, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? That's what Jesus said, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's not talking about, well, we don't have to invest in our children.
Right.
You know, we can't be like that crowd over there when Paul was preaching. They wouldn't even work. They're sitting on the sidewalk waiting for Jesus to come back. You know, that ain't what he's called us to do. So
He was essentially saying, you know, don't let the things that you prepare yourself for be worldly things.
Right, exactly.
You know, build more barns to store up more grain.
Yeah.
You know, he's saying that the things that you prepare yourself for is, you know, future generations that will follow God.
Amen.
And we see that principle throughout Scripture.
Yeah, I always get back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Very, very powerful Scripture. teaching us that our adults will need to be new in regard to children, you know. So I really appreciate the youth meeting there. I want to do one thing for the Lord for some prayer. I meant to mention this Wednesday night, and I guess, like you said, yeah, Wednesday or two. But Christina's second glucose tolerance test went really well. What's really funny is she actually even passed it the first hour, which is why she failed the last time. But, you know, I'm just glad the Lord worked it out. She does have to take another one later on in the pregnancy. This was an early one. Then she starts to take the label. So just pray that God will continue to let that be the case, that she won't have that gestational diabetes, especially because it does lead to higher birth weight. Like, we don't need that. So, I mean, you know, from my perspective, God knows what we really need. But from my perspective, that's, like, not a good thing. So just pray the Lord will continue to work that out. Also, continue to remember Jan. As far as we know, there is now a place open for her in Valdez. We're supposed to tomorrow find out there were several units open, and the lady who manages those units has to make sure that she gets the right person in the right place as far as matching the size to the person and or family. So she's supposed to find out tomorrow what unit she's moving into. But still really pray that God will work in that situation, because honestly, I still have some worries. Looking at it from the outside, from everything that I can see, which admittedly is not much, right? But from what I can see, I'm just afraid that Jim still has some vulnerabilities, and I have a hard time not worrying about that. So, but I know that God has a plan, and that God is able to be there when we are not able to be there. And God is able to do things that we can't do, even if we are there. But just pray that God will put his hand on that situation, especially the Lord. Bring Jan's daughter to himself. She's in a really bad place right now, but there's nobody that is unreachable about that. So pray for that. If you would, who's got a request this morning? Amen. Amen. Who's got somebody to pray this morning?
Well, thank God for answering prayer.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for healing the soul and continue to heal. Just to continue to pray for all of us, all of our. Church, the ones that's had the procedures done, and God's son coming up, and just continue to pray for our lost.
Amen.
Our family, loved ones, friends, God is lost.
Yeah.
And let's pray for them. Let's carry a burden for them.
Yeah.
You know, that burden's not too big, he said, with
them. Amen.
And it's not what he'd give us if he didn't anticipate that we'd all folks to carry it safe.
Yeah.
So if you have burdens or losses, pray for
it. Amen.
Keep praying for it. Thank you for the Lord and just trust him. And, you know, he's proven himself through so many times.
Yeah.
But man, it's so easy for our faith to grow weak.
Yes. Yes.
It's a lack of trust that we need to dependence on the end of God. Let's pray to God to exercise us more where we can trust
him. Amen.
Whatever it takes.
Amen.
We prepare our hearts to be ready to just do whatever necessary to trust. Make them so we can help them better.
Yeah.
And nothing more helpful necessary in this life than to trust God.
Amen. Amen. That's a hard prayer to pray, but it's needful.
Amen.
I do say I appreciate how full the church is this morning. It's been a little while, huh?
Yeah.
Since it's been quite this full, I know everybody's been sick. Really thank the Lord for helping everybody. And I'm sorry, I keep forgetting. I know, I just have a terrible memory. What does Brother Robert have scheduled so far? He's been to the doctor already now, haven't he? The consultation?
He went Thursday, it's supposed to be the consultation, but they went ahead and done it anyway, the procedure.
Oh, okay, I don't know. Okay. So did that go well?
They cut him open and he was losing a lot of blood. The doctor wasn't expecting that. So they hurried up and stitched him up really quick to try to get the bleeding to stop. And he was still bleeding pretty bad Thursday evening. And he went Friday to have the doctor look at it again. And he said it looks fine. He was expecting it to be a lot worse than what it was.
Okay.
The amount of blood he was losing Thursday. So he's still sore. Just pray for him. We're praying that's what fixed the problem. So.
Yeah, amen. Is he pretty well stopped bleeding?
He's still oozing a little, but not like what it was. So.
Okay. Okay, amen. Let's pray the Lord take care of that. He's been suffering with that for a long time. Remember this. several requests mentioned this morning, just remember those, so we'll see who they are. So if that's all there is, that's all I'm afraid.
Good to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for allowing us to come in and worship together.
Amen.
What a blessing it is. There has been a lot of us been sick and all that going around. And, you know, I don't know. I ain't no medical expert, but, you know, I've said before, it seems like ever since COVID came around, I've seen a lot of it. And one thing or another, it seems like it's done something to our bodies or something to where the now you get sick easier and you stay sick longer. At least I do. There's other people I talk to that does the same thing. And anyways, I ain't gonna get in all that saying no doctor, but I know this. We got a crooked government that I don't trust.
Amen.
And I don't know what their intentions is and all this, but I believe that the things that they wanted, I believe that the things that whoever and whatever entity set out to do with that virus being released, I believe that the effects ain't over yet. But in any case, I know this, I can trust the Lord.
Amen.
He's sovereign.
Yeah.
Amen. He's in control.
Yeah.
The thing that's outside of his control.
Yeah.
Even whenever the devil makes plans, still part of his plans, ain't
it?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. What is it, Preacher Billy, you always said? What is it you said somebody else said, and I've heard you say it much? The devil lays on the devil.
Something
like that.
That's Martin Luther.
Yeah. Even his own devil.
Yeah.
Something like that. But in any case, it's good to be in the Lord's house. I want to thank the Lord for letting us be here, come to worship together.
Yeah.
On Sunday morning, thank the Lord for the good weather we've had.
Amen.
What a blessing that's been. It's been some beautiful weather we've had, and thank the Lord for that. I wonder if anybody's got a song they'd like to sing before we get started this morning. Amen. You come on. Amen. Bless you. Oh, sorry. I hang myself all the time on that thing. Bless you, sweetie.
several weeks ago. And I called the doctor and the doctor was out for a week. And I was so sick. So I went to Valley's Hospital, emergency room. And they checked me out. They did a COVID test. They did a RSV test. Test, and it took x-rays, chest, and a little while the doctor come back in there and she said, well, Emma, she said, we checked you for everything. And she said, the only thing that we can figure that you've got is a viral infection. And she said, if it don't wear you out, if you don't wear it out, it's going to wear you out. And it just about did. And I just thank you this morning for healing my father.
Yes, yes. Amen.
I believe we ought to really thank God for he does something for us.
Amen. Yes, amen.
And I had a lot of people praying for me. I don't thank the church for praying for me. Well, I tell you, I thought my time had come to die. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to try to sing this. I may not get through it because of my conference. But this is my testimony. And I just want to sing it this morning.
Amen.
I just laid it on my heart. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I
last night I found myself kind of in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I said, Lord, is this truly my gift to bear? I said, they'll crucify me. The Lord said, son, preach it. I said, let it not be my will done, but thine, Lord. First of all, I want to say this. This is a hard message to preach. I'm going to preach this morning. Say, well, the Bible says you ought to fear God and not man. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not bragging. I'm just being honest with you. I got a back moment. I'm still out of me. You take me to preach this message to the people at the White House or a bunch that would try to throw rocks at me, and I wouldn't have a problem at all. But I got a heart made of glass. And I preach to the people I love and I care about.
Amen.
I don't want to hurt anybody.
Amen.
I don't want anybody to be offended. Mm-hmm. I don't. I love you all here.
Amen.
That's not what I want for anybody. Please keep in mind this morning, my heart's desire is to be a help to you and not to hurt you. If you open your heart to the Word of God will be a help to you. Won't hurt you. It'll be a help to you. Second of all, before we get started this morning, I want to say this. Need some help this morning. Why don't we just go ahead and practice a little bit? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And as I'm preaching this morning, if it's the truth, say amen.
Amen.
Even if you don't like it, say amen. I read stuff in the Word of God all the time that the flesh don't like it.
Yeah, amen.
But if it's the truth, we can say amen. If you have any places, if you would, stand for reading God. Or, I'm sorry, I'm living on, I even told you. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. Then, when you find your place, you would stand for the reading of God's Word. Revelation chapter 2, and we'll begin reading in verse number 18. The Bible says, and the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. And I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Pray, God, you'd add your blessing to the reading of it. God, that you would open our hearts and minds that we may receive your word this morning, that you'd be glorified. Lord, it's in Jesus' name alone we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have here these letters to these seven churches. You know, it's been said by others that there could have been church ages, but I believe that each one of these churches could also very well exist a little bit within every age.
Yeah.
And I believe that we can see things from some of these different churches through the age that we live in now.
Amen.
First of all, I want us to notice something. I'm just going to go ahead and throw this out there. The one thing that we want And I believe you men will find that if you're going to, I figure the men would get mad at me more than women, but I'll tell you why in just a little bit. But in any case, not only is this a spirit that is in the world, much so today, but notice that the Spirit of God is writing to the churches. And he says here in this church in Thyatira, he said, I've got somewhat against you. He said, I've got a few things against you. He said, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. Now, if you don't know who Jezebel was, she was alive here at the time of Kings, long before this had happened. And he's not talking about a specific person. He's talking about that spirit of Jezebel.
Right.
Jezebel, she married King Ahab. King Ahab took her. And she was a prophetess of her people. They worshiped false idols. They worshiped false gods. And part of being a prophetess meant that they worshiped Baal.
Yeah.
And part of being a prophetess meant that you was basically a whore, that you laid by the temple and you would sleep with men, and it was just all about sexual pleasure and whatever it could be. And you know, that's the way that they worshiped.
Yeah.
And then what would they do with the fact that they didn't have any means of protection, so to speak? And so they would become pregnant, they would take these children, and they would sacrifice them on the altar of Baal, because they believed that that sacrifice appeased their god Baal. The same thing happens today.
Yeah, amen.
People worship sexual immorality. Let me tell you this, it's not so much women that pushes this feminist ideology as it is men. Why is that? Because whenever we have a biblical ideology applied to our young ladies and our women, then they will be chaste, they will be wholesome, they will be discreet, they will be dressed in a manner that is not too appealing, and they will have a life, and they will lead a life that is not inviting men to lay in their bed. And you know what? Young men that are lost don't like that.
Right.
You think it's empowering to a woman to dress like a whore? And to dress like a slut and to wear them kinds of things, so you shouldn't talk like that. Hey, the Bible said it caused it worse than that.
Yeah.
Amen? But you think that's empowering? No, that's disgraceful to a woman.
That's right.
Let me tell you something, young girls. You might get a boy's attention dressing like that and acting like that, but I promise you, he don't want to marry you.
Right.
He wants a girl to wear a dress. A man wants a girl that's not been took around town with every other man that's been out there. A man wants a girl that's going to be his and his alone.
Yeah.
That's what a man wants.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, this ain't popular preaching nowadays. Maybe it's the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it needs to be preached.
Amen.
And our young men and our young women need to hear these things. He says, I've got somewhat against you. He says, I've got a few things against you. Verse 20, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess. These things not only exist in the world, but they exist in the church in the day and time in which we live in. And it's evident, it's clear. I don't understand why in the church, we are so quick to encourage our girls to be independent, to encourage our young ladies to go out and to make something of themselves. Why would we not want to encourage them to be a biblical woman?
Yeah.
And you say, well, preacher, what does the Bible say about it? The Bible simply says this. In the book of Titus, in chapter number 2, the Bible says, bespeak the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience, that the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. The aged women.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, you'll find in most churches the biggest cause of problem is the aged women.
Mm-hmm.
You say, surely not. Hey, I'm not talking about this church. I'm not picking on nobody. But I'm saying I got a grandma, and she's got friends. I used to make jokes and say, you know, who needs Facebook? I got a phone book. You know what I mean? One of my greatest fears, I got a wonderful wife. Amen?
Yes.
Y'all can surely amen that if anything I say. Amen?
Amen.
Those of you that know her now, you know you would never believe at one point in time, she is the most stubborn, headstrong woman that ever lived. Her mama can say amen to that. At one point in time. But I've seen God work in her life.
Amen.
It wasn't natural for her to become the woman that she is today. That's a working of the Holy Spirit, amen. That's working out. My greatest fear is that one day the Lord's going to take her and here. You know why? Because she's been so obedient, so faithful to do her role as a mother and as a wife.
Amen.
I seen it happen to my grandpa and my grandma. My grandpa was so faithful. He was so obedient to the Lord. He loved the church. He loved God. He loved his family. He served in every aspect, but I never found fault with him. The Lord took him. You say, well, that's sad. No, it's not. Because he's going to be with the Lord. What's sad is if you go around and you see my poor old grandma. Lonely. Broken. She ain't even in her right mind. She said her mind plays tricks on her. It's sad. I feel bad for her. But you know what? She spent a lifetime trying to undo everything that he done. She spent a lifetime being a hindrance to churches and preachers. I've heard her run her mouth. I'm just being honest with you. You say, you're not talking about your grandma like that. The Bible says, them that sin rebuke before all that others may fear. In the Bible, they called out people that was a disruption in the church. They called them out by name. Hey, let me tell you, well, preacher, I wouldn't want you to talk about me like that, but don't be a disruption in the house of God.
Right.
Don't be a disruption to the church. Amen. That's my job. I don't want to have to do that. I love my grandma. She's a great grandma. She took care of me. She cooked for me. She washed my clothes. She made me breakfast every morning. I ain't saying she was evil. She had a lot of good qualities about her. But at the same time, she's really a hindrance to the church. Mm-hmm. And I see what she goes through now, and it's sad. Hey, I'll tell you, that's what I worry is going to happen to me one day. Because I see how faithful my wife is, and I know how faithless I am. And I think that's going to be me one day. The Lord's going to take her on when we get older, and he's going to leave me here to tool. And that's just probably the way it would be. But nevertheless, the Bible says here that the aged women likewise, that they be in good behavior, becoming holy, not false accusers. You see, I see a lot of this gossip that goes on, talking about stuff they don't even know about. Just making up things that, you know, everybody knows better than the preacher. Everybody knows better than the pastor. Just one thing after another, you know. But the Bible says that let the aged women likewise that be not behaviors becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. He said here that the older women, the one that are been around for a while and they've lived the Lord, they ought to be teaching the younger women.
Yeah.
Or be setting an example for them. They got a responsibility. And it says here in verse number 4 that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means exactly what it says it means.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible tells us and teaches us that it is a woman's responsibility to be a keeper at home. It's a man's responsibility to take care of the needs of the woman.
Yeah.
And this is why I said the man will get just as mad as the women will about a message like this. Because they're not, most of the time we're not doing our part either. I know I'd fail a lot at this.
Yeah.
As far as taking care of all the needs of my family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way that it is. But the Bible tells us here that the young women to be discreet. That means that, you know, not only are we not dressing and to be discreet and chaste. That means that not only you don't dress a certain way, you don't act a certain way, but you don't talk about certain things.
Yeah.
You leave your testimony pure and wholesome.
Yeah.
Everybody don't need to know whenever it's that time of the month that you're ill. Amen. And by the way, that's not an excuse for you to have a bad attitude, women.
Right. Yeah.
Amen. You say, well, we can't help it. We've got, you know, it's natural that our hormones take over. Well, you know what's natural for a man? It's natural for a man that his hormones take over whenever he gets angry and he wants to become violent. You want him to become violent? No, because he needs self-control. Right. It's natural for a man to have all kinds of attractions that women generally don't have. That's a stronger feeling for a man than it is a woman. You want a man to just give in to them attractions because it's natural? Absolutely you don't.
Right.
And so why is it we're excusing a woman to have some hormones to be able to overcome that? Listen, part of the reason is this. It's because a lot of us as men just let them run over us. Mm. We need a backbone.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, you go back and read in the book of Genesis. Amen. It's getting a little bit quiet in here, but hey, the word of God's still true.
Yeah.
You read in the book of Genesis, and the curse was given to Adam, first of all, because he said this. He said, Adam, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife.
Yeah.
That's what the word of God says.
Yeah.
The Bible says that Adam was not deceived, but Eve, being deceived, was in the transgression. And but yet the Bible says we all die in Adam. Why is that?
Yeah.
It's because Adam was intended to be a leader.
Yeah. Right.
But a lot of you men were not willing to leave your
that, is it? If you're going to be bold and give the word of God and say the Bible says a woman ought to live like this, there's certainly things that the Bible says a man ought to be too.
Yeah.
How can you tell a woman that the Bible says you're to be willing to make me some dinner whenever you yourself ain't willing to turn off the football game to have a devotion with your family?
Yeah, amen.
Or you miss a service at church because there's something better you want to do. You want to get to the lake or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something, young men. Your families are watching that. And I promise you, God will hold you responsible and accountable for every decision that's happened in that family. If there's a woman that's running that family, and she allows them to do everything but go to the house of God, and you were standing by and let it happen, listen, it ain't going to be on her. Young man, it's going to be on you.
Yeah.
Look at what happened to Adam.
Yeah.
Because now that's hearkening to the voice of our wife. We need good, godly men that are leaders. The Bible says here in Titus, it says, good to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Right.
The word of God be not blasphemed. Just as much as it is responsibility of a woman to obey her husband, it is the responsibility of a man to be a good leader. To
right.
Be a godly leader.
Yeah. Right.
Now let's say you say, do you do that all the time? I do not, I'll be honest with you. I feel strongly that I do not do as good of a job being a godly leader as my wife does being a good godly woman. Like I said, it's a work of God, but this
Amen.
Is the thing. Even though I might not be the perfect leader, she still obeys the Lord
yes.
in the fact that she tries to follow him.
Yes.
Regardless of my actions, that's a testimony. I was at work the other day, and everybody mad. I was talking about this, what was it? Oh, I remember this man, he'd been out sick, he's had some troubles. And he come to work, and he was joking, he said, my paycheck's slacking, you know. Another one told him, he said, well, borrow some from your wife. He said, she ain't got no money. He said, you know, she don't know how to manage money, you know. He said, she never managed no money in her life, you know. He said, whatever she's got, it's spent, you know. I said, that sounds like my life, you know, and I'm joking. I said, well, I can't say nothing bad about Lou. I said, I've hardly ever had to change a diaper. I said, never done a load of laundry in my life. Hardly ever have to wash any dishes. I don't have to cook. So she takes care of all that. Well, I guess it just made them all mad that my wife's such a good wife. Because then all these women come start attacking me like it's my fault. I said, why are y'all mad at me that she's such a good wife? I said, go take it up with her. I said, maybe she can tell you how to be a better woman.
Amen.
I said, I don't know what to tell you. You know. But like I said, it wasn't always that way. She used to be the most stubborn, bullheaded somebody. And I've seen God save her. I've seen God work in her life. I tell her all the time, honey, if I never get to see another soul saved, if I preach the rest of my life and nobody is converted, then I'm going to say God is a great and good and mighty God for the work that he's done in your life.
Yeah.
Hey, the testimony that she has is the greatest encouragement to me in my ministry that I've ever had in my life.
Amen.
Hey, nothing could replace that.
Amen.
I remember a time praying, just praying. I was talking about this morning. I said, I had a friend I want you to pray for. I said, for me to look at it, seems like he can't be helped. And I can't, I said, out of my hands, but I know there's one that can.
Yeah.
There's a time, honey, I felt like there wasn't nothing could be done about it. Your bullhead. Miss Ellen, you think there's anything that's ever been done? No, not at all. And I didn't know what else to do, just to pray.
Yes.
And Lord, He worked that out.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you know, she's an encouragement to me.
Yeah.
And I think, man, why couldn't I just obey you like she does? You know, to see that. And what a blessing that is.
Yes, sir.
The Bible talks about that spirit of feminism that's in it. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, ladies, something. Let me tell you, men, something. It takes zero discipline. It takes zero strength. It is natural. That feminine spirit is a natural spirit.
Yeah.
For you to be independent and for a woman to be able to do her own thing, dress how she wants to, and for her to call the shots, that's natural. Matter of fact, that's part of the curse that God put on the woman. He said that your desire will be unto your husband, and he shall rule over thee. He's talking about this. He's talking about that your desire will be to have the authority of the husband.
Yeah.
That's a curse.
Yeah.
That's a curse. Why is that? Because as long as a woman's living that way, she can't have any peace.
Right.
She can't have any comfort. When a woman is willing to submit to the authority of her husband, there's peace in that. There's comfort in that. It alleviates that burden. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
fall under the will of God. And to fall under the will of God alleviates that burden. But whenever we read about here, even in Titus, and it talks about this, it says, to do all this, that the word of God did not blaspheme. That's why Satan wants to entice and get into the church and bring this spirit of feminism into the church. You may tell you what it takes a strong woman to do. It takes a strong woman to be disciplined enough to obey the word of God.
Amen.
Even if her husband is failing and lacking in ways, for her to strive to be the wife and the mother that God would have her to be.
Amen.
It takes a disciplined woman to get on her knees and pray and to get to church even when her husband won't come with her. It takes a disciplined woman to love her husband, to listen to him, even if he's not behaving in a godly way, even if he's not leading in a godly way.
Yes.
It takes discipline. It takes strength. That is the kind of woman to be admired.
Yes.
Not the one that's on here running for president or whatever the case may be. I can care less about that, and God does too.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're proud of him. The whole world's proud of him. The pride of men is nothing.
That's right. That's right.
Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. I want to teach my girl to love God and to be a wife and a mother.
Hey.
That's God's intention. Well, I heard a preacher say one time, my wife's going to know what I'm talking about soon as I say this. Because, boy, I got fired up. We was at a service one time. This friend from some friends of hers, they were having a baby dedication or something like that, you know, a child dedication service. And the preacher preached, and he said that, he said, it ain't the wife's responsibility to make sure that the children are taught to love God. He said, that's the husband's responsibility.
Yeah.
I disagree with that. I think the Word of God disagrees with that. I believe it's the husband's job. I believe it's the father's job to beat the snot out of the young ones when they get out of line. But the Bible tells us that the women to be keepers of home, and again, and if you read over here in 1 Timothy in chapter 2, the Bible says this. He says, verse number 8, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I will therefore the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. He says, women, be known for your actions, not for your looks. Says this, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now that's not to say that women can't be used in the house of God. Every single service, without fail almost, I have to ask three or four of you women to remind me of some things. Amen. We've got women like Miss Sherry that handles so much that I don't think any of you men here, including myself, are qualified to do. Amen. We've got some women that teach in our women's class and our children's class that I know ain't none of us men could do. Amen. And we've got Miss Karen who takes care of all the youth activities. There ain't nobody a better fit for that job. Amen. And so we can have women that have roles and responsibilities in the church, right? Amen? That's not what it's talking about. What it's saying is this, though, is that it's not a woman's responsibility to lead. It is the responsibility of the man. It's not saying a man is always a better fit for leadership, but it's saying that that's God's design, is that a man should lead and take on that responsibility of leadership.
Amen.
And whenever we read this, he says, by suffering not a woman teach, nor to assert authority over the man, but to be in silence. He says, for Adam was first born, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And listen to this last part. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. That word saved means preserved. Preacher Billy May's name will always be preserved in our memories because he stood and he preached the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
And he gave the gospel. Amen.
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 And Miss Vivian Mace's name will always be preserved because Brother Keith and Miss Sherry have have been such a blessing and help to the house of God.
Yeah.
And she's the one who raised them. Amen.
Amen.
Your children, ladies, are what preserves your testimony if they continue. And that is our responsibility as a mother. And when they get grown, you know, we can't always help that. They get into things, you know, that's not, we can't control them when they're grown adults. But as long as they're children, as long as they're under our roof, what they do and how they behave reflects on you and your ministry as a mother. Yeah. That is your primary ministry as a mother. If you got good kids that's, you know, well, they ain't no such thing as good kids. There's tolerable children. I know mine, that's what I'm going to call them, is tolerable. So I'm sure good kid. You know what I mean? Everybody else is tolerable. And Zoe's good. All the rest of y'all in Kinsley, you're good too. Most of the time. All the rest of them is just tolerant. And boys especially. And you too, Kim, you're just tolerant. I will explain it later. I still remember that. Bible says foolishness is down the heart of a child. Draw a stretch and drive the bell. I hate having pulled my guns.
Yeah.
I do. I do. I remember thinking my dad used to tell me that and say, son, this hurts me worse than it hurts you. And I thought, yeah, he's full of it. I thought, there ain't no way that belt sends them kind of shockwaves back in his hand. You know, I didn't understand what he meant by that. But you do, you hate to have to whoop them.
Yeah.
I believe I do. That's something that's hard to do.
Yeah.
That's about as hard as telling my wife no whenever she really wants to do something that I know we shouldn't do, or, you know, I've got a better idea.
Yeah.
That is. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
That is. It's very difficult. There ain't nobody in the world, I promise you, that you want to have a confrontation with besides a wife. Now, you can get into anybody else, a brother, a mom, or dad, or anybody else besides a wife. Because you got to live with her. Amen. It's difficult. It is. So just if listen, ladies, if you've got a man that's willing to stand for what's right and tell you that this is wrong,
amen.
You better thank God for it.
Amen.
You better thank God for it. It's not easy for him to do, I assure you. It takes a lot of courage for a man to stand up to a wife. It really does. Whenever we read this in Timothy, though, it tells us that the woman is to be preserved, her testimony is to be preserved through the raising of children. And I thank God for that. Going back over here, Revelation in chapter number 2, I'm about to, before I can take much more of this. He says this, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and then to commit adultery with her in the great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. You know what the result of feminism is in society? It is sexual immorality.
Yeah.
That is the result of feminism. That is the fruit of feminism, is sexual immorality.
Yeah.
Why is that? It's because feminism trains the young man to say, woman, you go ahead and be offended. You know what the purpose of marriage is? It's designed to emulate the relationship of the church and Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the groom, and the church is the bride. We depend on him, we obey him, and he takes care of all of our needs. The spirit of feminism teaches women, you don't need no man. Man, don't you try, it ain't cool. Don't you try to be jealous of her. Hey, I'm jealous of my wife.
Yeah,
I am. I don't let nobody say nothing out of the way to my wife. I don't let nobody, if I see anybody trying to flirt with my wife or anything else, I'm going to get violent. I will get physically violent.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. I believe a man ought to be that way,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't think that's unbiblical.
Right.
Amen. Hey, when the Bible talks about turning another cheek, it ain't saying that you just let somebody, it's talking about concerning the gospel. And it ain't even talking about putting your face out there from the smack of the other side. It's saying you turn to them the side of you that's not bitter. You give them the side of you that is Christian, the side of you that has the Holy Ghost in it. That's what it's talking about. But hey, a man still needs to be a man.
Yeah.
And you know what? Where do you think that comes from? God says he is a jealous God. Why?
Yeah.
Because he takes care of all of our needs. He gives us everything. He's done everything for us. He has laid down his life for us.
and he has every right to be jealous, and he doesn't want us giving our attention and our time to anything or anyone else. And the same way, that's the way a husband ought to feel about his wife. That's the way the wife ought to feel about her husband. If you're taking good care of your wife and you're doing all you can for her, you got the right to be jealous. And the wife's the same way. If you're taking good care of your husband, you're doing all you can for him, you got the right to be jealous. You don't want another woman getting his attention. Amen.
Right.
The results of feminism in society is adultery, fornication, abortion, all sorts of sexual immorality. Pornography, all of it stems from feminism.
Yeah.
When you see that in society, and you see these young women out here dressed the way they are, they think that that empowers them. It's so sad that they're so blinded.
Yeah.
They think that because men give them attention and young boys give them attention, that they somehow have control of them. Listen, you young girls especially listen to me, you dads listen to me.
Yeah.
You got a responsibility to raise that daughter is yours, and you have the responsibility to stand up to her just as much as you do her mother.
Yeah.
And them little girls, they can get away with stuff, but a little boy can't. I'm bringing, by the way, y'all have a boy. And if it is, you're going to see what I'm talking about. You're going to have such an easier time beating the far out of him. I have boys I can beat them all day like a dog in bed. Because, you know, they'll go wrong. But then they just, you know, my mind. You know. I know they can take it. But, man, it's so hard for me to whoop my little girl. And it's so easy somehow for her to get her way with me. And boys ask me anything, I said, no. I don't even know if I say that, no. That I was wondering, no. Why is I going to ask you and you let me ask? All right, that's right, no. The answer's no. Whatever it is, it's no. And if you don't even ask. If you ask me, I'm going to remember it, and I'm going to have two no's for the next two questions you ask after me. You know. But she goes, she said, hey. You know, she started hitting my face. I'm like, what is it? You know. That's the way it is with little girls a lot of times. But we got a responsibility to teach them and train them and not let them act like the world and that spirit of the world. It's one thing when the world acts like the world, right? They're lost down under that. But here he's talking about this spirit being in the church. That spirit, that Jezebel spirit. It's a spirit that goes on in the church today, but it don't even be going on in our homes and in this church. We need to be mindful of this. We need young women and women, old women, all women that are willing to be biblical women, just as Sarah was. We need men of all ages to be men, leaders, who are willing to stand. And not only to stand for anything, but stand for what's right.
Yeah.
First of all, say, you know what, if I'm not living a life that is glorifying God and I'm too ashamed to stand up to my wife, then I need to change that.
Yeah.
I need to do something about that. I need to get serious about serving Jesus Christ and be able to serve the Word of God so that I will be an example in my life, and so that whenever I do step up and lead, that I have a standing and a foundation to stand on. Amen?
Amen.
Don't just go home and say, honey, you got to cook my meals and wash my clothes because the Bible says so. Man, you got a responsibility even greater.
Amen.
Even greater. Be a godly leader.
Amen.
To lead your entire family closer to God, not closer to the beach.
Right.
Not closer to retirement.
Amen.
Not closer to financial independence or a new and bigger TV or a nice new car or to buy more land or anything else. But your ultimate responsibility as a man in taking care of their needs is to draw them all closer to the Lord. There's no such thing as a priest besides that of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He is our great high priest.
Right.
But within the household, I promise you, you as a husband are closer to being a priest than I am as a pastor of the church.
Right, right.
All I'm here to do is to give you the Word of God. It's your responsibility to take it and to act upon it and to be that intercessor, to be that one that acts between the Lord and the rest of your family. Look at Job and where he stood with his family.
Amen.
He was a godly leader.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what God expects out of us. Let's bow our heads for prayer.
help, especially those I love and I care about. If the Lord spoke to your heart today, you need to come to this altar. Come and ask God to help you. Say, Lord, I need to be a better wife, a better husband, a better father, a better mother. Would you come? Do you see the need? The Lord has for your life. It is so hard, it's difficult in the day and hour in which we live to be a good biblical wife and mother or a good biblical father and husband. But the expectation of God remains the same. He has given us every reason to be obedient. Just as the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Our strength comes from Him. We can't do it on our own. We can try, want to, we'll fail miserably. But if we can depend on Him, He'll help us through. As I pray this morning, if the Lord spoke to your heart, why don't you come to this altar this morning? Father, I thank you, Lord, for loving me, convicting me, Lord. Forgive me where I fail you, Father, as a husband and as a leader of my family. Lord, so often, Lord, I seem to just have everything else in my mind other than helping and drawing my family closer to you. And Lord, I know the need and I see the need and I desire it. Lord, the flesh gets in the way. I pray, God, that through the strength of the Holy Spirit, God, you'd help me to be a better leader. God, to stand for what's right unapologetically. Lord, to lead my family in the way that you have me to be led. Thank you, Lord, for loving, calling me out of darkness into the light, being a help to me. Thank you for having mercy on me. Pray, God, that you take this word that's preached here this morning. God, that you would settle it in our hearts, God, that we won't soon forget it. God, that it be a blessing and a help to us and draw us close to you. Lord, we know that purity, Lord, that sanctification are only drawn out of conviction. Sometimes it may sting, but God, if we'll respond correctly, Lord, that we would adjust and repent, I know, God, that you'll grow us and help us. We thank you for loving us and being good to us. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house today. Just to be able to hear your word preach. Lord, thank you for dying on Calvary for our sins, that though we do fail you in all these ways and so many more, you still love us because you've saved us by your grace. We thank you, Lord, for being good to us. Help us now to be obedient to you. I pray for these young men that are in here today, Father, that you'd help them remain chaste, Lord, that they would have self-control, Lord, that they would not be drawn away, Lord, by the young girl that's living in the world, that's deceived, Lord, that's acting and behaving in such a way, Lord, that would follow this spirit of Jezebel. And I pray for the young women, Lord God, that you would, Lord, not let them go with what's popular or what's trending, but Lord, that they would seek to please you, Lord, that they would want to serve you, and Lord, that they would align their lives with the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd give them all boldness to stand in the face of Satan, in the spirits that this world tries to intrigue and tries to distract, and Lord, with, and that you would just let them stand on the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, for all of our men and women here at the church, Lord, that we would understand that you have designed us for a purpose and a reason here on this earth. Lord, that we would not be satisfied just to sit on a church pew, but God, that we want to serve in some way, whatever it is, and however it is that you see fit, that you be glorified. I thank you for loving us and being good to us. I thank you, Lord, for having mercy on us. And pray, God, you continue to do so and be glorified in it. Lord, it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. 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 Is all hearts and minds clear? Your liberty to go.